yours.
This week, ZZ Top's Billy, Dusty, and Frank in the studio for the complete albums 1970 to 1990.
Just got paid today. Got me a pocket full of change. I said, Lord, take me downtown. I'm just looking for some touch.
And as music changed, I mean, we hopefully we changed with it, but we play only one way. You know, I don't know that we know how to play any other way.
Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
Hey, this is Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top.
And this is Dusty Hill of ZZ Top.
And I'm Frank Beard, and you're in the studio for a special featuring ZZ Top's greatest hits.
That first ZZ Top album was recorded and released in 1970 into a world that had never heard of Stevie Ray Vaughan. He was just a skinny kid going to middle school in Dallas back then. When ZZ Top's first album debuted, there was no award-winning Austin City Limits television live music series. The PBS network was barely a dream. Austin's legendary Armadillo World Headquarters that would spawn the likes of Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, and many more legends was still half a decade away. In 1970, ZZ Top's only Texas contemporaries on the national scene were Steve Miller, Boz Scaggs, and Johnny Winter. But Miller and Scaggs were being marketed as San Francisco by way of Chicago, not Texans. That left Johnny Winter and his younger, jazzier brother Edgar to blaze a trail for ZZ Top to follow out of Texas. But the Winter brothers quickly relocated to New York City. That left ZZ Top to defend the musical Alamo back home in the Lone Star State, something they've done without fail ever since. Batting 10 for 20 between 1970 and 1990. ZZ Top singer, songwriter, guitarist par excellence, Billy Gibbons, assesses the legacy of those 10 albums from that 20-year period.
There's a lot of luck to start it off with. Some of these things you would like to prophesy and say, well, we can plan this, or we'd like to set it up going in a certain way. And yet, it's always unpredictable, and it's always probably exactly opposite of what you think you're going to do.
Really?
And it's nice and neat to be able to put it in a package now and be able to identify it. But the first few notes that you're ripping and the first few chops that you're stabbing at, you just don't really know exactly where you're going. But after a certain groove sets up, you say, ah, this feels good, or let's follow that thing.
You've never strayed from the essence and a certain, an incredible, really, a purity of sound. There had to be lots of temptations and, you know, armchair quarterbacking by a lot of people along the way. And I think you should see his grin, folks. He's just,
yeah,
it's remarkable. But you can pull out all 10. Now this is number 10. You can pull out all 10 ZZ Top albums, and there is a consistency, there is an integrity, there is a trueness.
It's interesting. Well, first of all, I can only take that as a compliment. But noting that, it's something that has kept us doing this thing that we love so much, and that's just playing the music. I think that each night is it's just a guesswork. You know, who's going to throw who a curveball, and can you follow it when it goes way out there in left field? Who's going to bring us back? You know. Yeah, it's fun.
Just got paid today. Got me a pocket full of change. Pocket full of change. If you
1972 second album, Rio Grande Mud by ZZ Top, was a big step up in songwriting and recorded sound, as evidenced by the blue-collar labor lament, Just Got Paid. Several years before Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson's outlaw country scene in Austin, and almost a decade before the urban cowboy fad, ZZ Top's Billy Gibbons and bass player Dusty Hill were performing in Western cut shirts, cowboy boots, and big honkin' 10-gallon hats like Hoss Cartwright wore on Bonanza. This colorful independent streak extended to ZZ Top's choice of where to live, according to Dusty Hill.
We got together, recorded our first album, and we toured where we could. You know, our manager got us all these different things and opened for some acts, and we did the second album. And by around then, I think it was, I'm not very good with dates, but by around the second album or something, we were starting to make some, not waves, but ripples. And the record company, you know, said the same thing to us. They said, well, look, they didn't put it as politely. They said, well, you can't live there. L.A.'s okay, or New York, preferably, you know, okay? And we went, well, why? And they didn't have a satisfactory answer for me. I understand that thinking, but that's not the way we did it. You know, we did it with hard touring and our manager. The location of our habitat, I just never thought had anything. And then, of course, there was that early stuff. You know, it wasn't cool at that time to be. It was okay to be from Texas, but not in Texas.
Not still be there.
Right, right. It was considered very unchic, you know. And then it got extremely chic. And now I'm happy to think that it's okay. It's not real trendy, but it's not unacceptable either. So I think it's all right now.
rumors spreading around. And that takes its time. But the shack outside the game. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that whole mile on the range. They got a lot of nice girls. I'm racing.
LaGrange, an unabashed musical tribute to blues legend John Lee Hooker, was the only hit other than House of the Rising Sun to be about a house of ill repute. We could almost take up the whole show with the backstory on LaGrange alone, but you can check it out on the Trace Ombre's 40th anniversary at inthestudio.net. Dusty Hill explains why ZZ Top has always been a Texas triumvirate.
I played in a couple of three trios before ZZ, guitar, bass, and drums, the regular setup. And, you know, of course, Cream was out at the time, and Jimi Hendrix, and, you know, that type of thing. It was a natural progression to go to three-piece group. I don't know if for me. I don't know about everyone else. When I met Billy, of course, Frankie and I had already worked together. You know about all that. It felt completely comfortable from the first song. You know, we jammed a shuffle for a couple of hours, it seemed like, or something. And that's why we never thought about, you know, going further in, as far as personnel. As far as people liking three-piece groups, I think the sound, it's all right there, basic, you know. But you also have all the room to move around, experiment that you want, a drummer, a guitar player, or a bass player. You know, you don't have the confines that four or five, six people, you know, you have to be more structured. Of course, with a three-piece group, the thing is that you have to play, you have to be on your toes all the time, but that's also makes it fun. I mean, because, I mean, it may be a little harder sometimes. It may be hard, but it's a little harder to play in a larger group sometimes, too, because you have to play exactly where you're supposed to be. In three-piece, you can stretch out a little bit more. So, see, there's plus and minuses on any of it. And with our three-piece, that the music and leaning on each other goes into a lot of other areas. That's maybe one of the reasons we've been together so long.
The song as we played it
at a sound check.
Yeah, in Florence, Alabama. It was a dirt floored arena, I think a rodeo arena, and we had about 30 minutes to set up and practice. Frank launched into a shuffle, and
that song almost didn't get written because I was in my normal probably bad mood, going, look, let's just go. And Frank, well, let's do one song. Billy launched into that riff. And he says, just sing something, you know, let's just... And back then, we taped a lot of our sound checks just for that reason. And it just kind of came out.
The song Tush from the 1974 ZZ Top album Fandango, which features the best shuffle player on planet Earth, Frank Beard, and the lead vocal of bass player Dusty Hill. When we return, we'll find out why Frank is the only member without a beard. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, on Twitter at Redbeard Rocks, and get more ZZ Top interviews at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard.
Hey, this is Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top, and now back to the man who spends half his life trying to convince people he's not in ZZ Top. Take it away, Mr. Redbeard.
With the best of the box, ZZ Top, complete albums 1970 to 1990. Those legendary first 10 albums, now with the correct original mixes, underappreciated by music observers, is the fact that no band still working today has had the exact same personnel longer than ZZ Top. And that even includes the Rolling Stones. Here's ZZ Top guitarist, singer, songwriter, Billy Gibbons.
Well, like I said earlier, the music has been the main ingredient. It is the glue that's kept it all together. And then if you try and microscope the emotional side of things, you stay with your feelings and, you know, you get out of your head and you speak from the gut rather than from any intellectual standpoint. You just try and be as honest and open and caring toward your brothers as you can, and by doing so, it really it smooths out a pathway that lets the fun begin, and that's picking up that guitar and slamming it out.
In a way, stay out of the way of the music?
Yeah, and a lot of times it's not easy. A lot of times it's saying things that you really feel, and that is not necessarily comfortable, and it's not necessarily a complimentary, but if you approach any kind of problem with some measure of appropriateness and you blurt it out in some courteous and congenial manner, you cross your fingers and and hope that
hold your breath and jump in the deep end.
There it is, and that's just rule number one. It's it doesn't matter if you're in you could be in a marriage or you could be in a band, either one. It's all the same, you know. It's as we are doing now, communicating and just getting down to what really makes it tick.
what you're trying to do. Who can forget ZZ Top moseying across North America back in 1977 on the Tejas Tour, taking Texas to the people with live longhorn steers and buzzards sitting on the amplifiers? At times, there were more livestock than musicians on stage for that tour. But Shuffle King Frank Beard reminds us of the challenges inherent in the stripped-down trio format of ZZ Top.
You know, where, like, if you've got a big horn band, per se, then it's dictated that you would play a certain way in a large rhythm and blues horn band. You would play completely different. I would play a different type of drums with if we had a rhythm guitar. As it is now, my job is to play with Dusty during the verses and everything, but when we go into the rides, then I play with Billy, and Dusty drops back, and Dusty takes over the bottom. So, you know, that's when I get free during the rides. And but during the verses, I'm pretty well, you know, it's my job to keep everything together during the verses and during the choruses. It's a great give and take type relationship.
When you wake up in the morning and the light has hurt your head, the first thing you do when you get up out of bed is hit that streets a running and try to beat the masses. Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses. Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Oh yeah! I spied a little thing and I followed her all night in a funky fine Levi's and her sweater's kinda tight. She had a West Coast strut that was sweet as molasses. But what really knocked me out was the cheap sunglasses. Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Oh
we'll be right back.
And if we'd known about the song Cheap Sunglasses prior to its inclusion on ZZ Top's 1979 DeGuayo album, we'd all have bought stock in Ray-Ban. It was during that period that the three band members had a bet to see who could grow the fullest beard. Ironically, Frank Beard lost. But would he ever consider joining his hirsute brethren by not shaving?
Won't, and you know why, because you're stuck with yours the same way these guys are stuck with theirs. You, above all people, should know why. I was so lucky on that one, because when we got together after we took, you know, the 3 years off in 78, I had a beard. If you look at the Lone Wolf Horns, I had that little short, you know, 2-inch beard, and these guys had their beards weren't that long. I mean, they were long, but, you know, I could have caught up by now. But I got frustrated at losing the contest, and so I shaved, and now I can go to the mall and they can't.
One's El Loco album featured the ornery Tube Snake Boogie from ZZ Top, just one of the 10 full original albums included now in ZZ Top, the complete album's 1970 to 1990 box set, with the correct original mixes and remastered for iTunes. When Billy, Dusty, and Frank return, they'll discuss making blues for the 21st century. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, on Twitter at Redbeard Rocks, and hear additional ZZ Top interviews at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard.
Say, man, what are you fixing to do? You got to listen right here, broadcasting live. Hi, I taught the McKinley Morgan Field Middle School on the Stovall Plantation. This is Iuka, Mississippi's own Reverend Willie G. with another inspirational verse from the Book of First Kings. That be B.B., Freddie, and Albert Have Mercy.
Yeah. Hey, Queen Bee Barbecue.
Yeah.
All right.
What are you fixing to do?
Thank you, Reverend Willie G. We're featuring the best of the box set, ZZ Top, the complete albums 1970 to 1990. It's now available with the original mixes, remastered for iTunes, too. I'm Redbeard. The March 1983 ZZ Top album Eliminator has so many classic songs on it that we had to devote an entire hour just to that one album at InTheStudio.net. Eliminator and its companion MTV videos made ZZ Top a worldwide phenomenon, which required that Billy, Dusty, and Frank tour the world twice. This presented a whole new set of challenges for finding creative songwriting time for any follow-up, according to bass player Dusty Hill.
At first, you know, we were just working so much on the road that when it was time to record, we had the material from just riding on the road, a natural progression. You know, the albums progress naturally. And as music changed, I mean, we changed with it, but we play only one way. You know, I don't know that we know how to play any other way. And it's the way it's always come out. Now, every album hopefully has a flavor of its own, but also at the same time, you can tell, hopefully, who that it's ZZ Top. And you can hear the record for the first time on the radio. People have told me, and they go, that sounds like ZZ, without knowing it. Some songs that we have written that we don't record have not sounded like us, and it just didn't feel right, so we put them aside. It's, once again, I don't want to sound like this is all just this natural thing, but, you know, it is a kind of a natural way to do things, and it comes out sounding like us.
Girls everywhere, I better go and check.
tightest, most furious performance of anything in 1985 had to be when ZZ Top landed on the planet of women from the Afterburner multi-million seller. Billy Gibbons says that ZZ Top has been around long enough to watch the recording industry go from the hardware store to the toy department.
It's such an incredible technological array of mystery. There's not a single trip across the board where you won't find some new gadget or some new new contraption that's designed to make it easier, better, you know, something like that. And in the hands, I suppose, of the right technician, those kind of inventions, shall we say, are quite useful. They can be useful. But then there's the other side of the coin of the band that backs their station wagon up to the back door, pulls in 3 amps, and closes their eyes to all of it and say, where's the plug? And that's turn it up and go. It just so happens that we got a bit bluesier on this go-around. Maybe it's something to do by hanging out where we've been and this association with the Delta Blues Museum and seeing the Delta land and just going back. It really did. It influenced us quite a bit.
Thank you.
from Afterburner was a memorable MTV video blues ballad all through 1986. Again, Dusty Hill of ZZ Top.
I think everybody rediscovers the blues about every 10 years or, you know, and it's nothing new about that, you know. It's just each generation likes to go, wow, listen to this. And then, of course, the influences of the musicians coming up, they take that and hopefully take it a step further, and the influence shows through. And then they make it their own, you know, with their own flavor to it.
Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top.
Recycler has surfaced. Perhaps, I guess you could say, Trace Ombre's meets Eliminator or something.
Yeah, yeah, you got it.
In this last record, following the I guess the trend that was set first by Eliminator and then Afterburner, which under the microscope those two records would be classified as our most production oriented records. They certainly had more kind of synthesizer-y sounds, and we really were getting experimental at that point. And we could turn around and set up one afternoon. First track was My Head's in Mississippi, which, you know, our homage to Howlin' Wolf and the gang, best we could do anyway, and interpret that little bit of business. So I don't know, it comes and goes. Sometimes you can plan things, and then others just come right off the top of your head, and you say, well, let's just try it and go do it. It's our surrealistic side materializing itself in the form of blues. It's like, what could we possibly say in the context of 12-bar blues that makes sense for a bunch of cartoon guys in the 90s? And we had such a strong feeling. We were shuffling through the Texas, and we were back in Texas, and yet some part of the spirit was left back in the Delta. You know, we were just thinking about that.
It made perfect sense to us, you know. I mean, when we wrote it, just, yeah, great, that's right.
I'm shuffling through the Texas sand, but my head's in Mississippi. Texas sand, but my head's in Mississippi. The blues has got a hold of me. I believe I'm getting dizzy. Help me up. I keep thinking about that night in Memphis.
The bookend for ZZ Top's complete albums 1970 to 1990. That's originally from the Recycler release. I'm Red Beard, back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guests, Dusty Hill, Frank Beard, and Billy Gibbons. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions, copyright 2013, all rights reserved, transcription by Jane Carpenter Brunet, theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, @RedbeardRocks on Twitter, and hear a lot more at inthestudio.net.